Good morning, friends. What a pleasure and privilege it is to be coming your way once again by means of radio. Today, our subject is a dual one. First, I want to talk about God, then some about man, and part of the time it will be concerning God and man. I will start with this scripture in Psalm 68:19-20. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He, that is our God, is the God of salvation, and unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. The second scripture is this: When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalms 8:3-4. But more on this later. Listen to this poem: God is ever good. Whene'er I tread the highway, I pass through leafy wood, methinks I hear a murmur, God is ever good. He careth for the songsters, and daily gives them food, I think I hear them singing, God is ever good. To earth he sent the Savior, no, we wonder how he could, to bear our sins and sorrows, God is ever good. Whene'er I count my blessings and thank him as I should, my soul cries out in rapture, God is ever good. Whene'er I pass through trials and trust him as I should, my heart is filled with glory, God is ever good. When I have crossed the river and on the shore have stood, I still shall sing his praises, God is ever good. Now, more about the God of all creation. We hope we can present him to you in his true attributes. Although we must avoid the spirit of bitter strife and controversy, still we cannot consent to a course which in the end seeks to rob us of the true concept and nature of God. The great command, preach the word, comes ringing down through the ages, and every holy minister of God is obligated to take his stand for the truth. This is important. We are exhorted to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, Titus 2:1. The Word of God presents the true standard of teaching. The Bible is our standard of God's laws. It stands for all that is good in man and is forever opposed to all that is evil. It tells us what God is like and what he expects of us. It pronounces the last word on moral character. In fact, this is so true that many leaders of heathen religions are attempting to adjust their moral standards to those of Christianity. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and the mind of man has never conceived anything so noble, so elevating, so inspiring, so grand as that one Sermon on the Mount. Search through all the religions of the ages, glean out every choice, moral precept, and delineation of human character and conduct. Place the findings together in one collection, and they will bear a most wretched comparison with the divine beauty and the infinite wisdom here expressed by the Christ of the Bible. Here is given the spiritual essence of the law and the prophets. Here truth is pressed homeward to the human soul. Character and conduct are defined by the secret springs and motives of the heart. Here all pride, hypocrisy, and self-seeking stand condemned, while all the finer virtues of which the soul is capable find free expression and infinite encouragement in the words of the Beatitudes. Here, a restraining influence is brought to bear upon wicked men by the solemn assertion of a future state of punishment in hell, while the righteous are assured of a great reward in heaven. In the Bible, the way of salvation is not hidden, but is straight and narrow. There is nothing to hinder any seeking soul from coming in contact with its Maker. The very nature of God is to bless, and this he desires to do for all. One of the greatest proofs that the Bible is the Word of God is that it transforms human lives and accomplishes the regeneration of society. The promises of salvation and deliverance contained in its pages have proven to be a living reality in millions of instances. The words of men have never accomplished such results as these. Aristotle wrote on the principles of ethics, but who's ever heard of his works transforming the nature of a single man from sin to holiness? Thomas Paine wrote the book Age of Reason. Has it ever been known to reclaim a man from drunkenness and sin, as does the Holy Bible? The Bible bears on its face the stamp of divine inspiration and performs the work of God in the world. Millions of redeemed men and women have given their lives in its defense, and today it is loved and reverenced by the humble saints of God. The wonderful words of Jesus that our lips were taught to frame in childhood's early morning still cling to us right on down through old age. In the darkest hours of trial and affliction, they furnish an unfailing light that leads to the brightness of a better day. When the pathway of life is pleasantest and happiest, our raptured spirits find joyous expression in thankful praise in the language of the living Word. And when the darkness of the long night gathers around us and we are about to begin our untried journey to the future land, bring us the Bible, blessed Bible. It alone can give us the clear light of immortality. One writer said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And what does the word tell us about God? That he is a perfect, conscious, intelligent being existing from eternity, the cause of all created things. It begins by stating, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis 1:1. The writers of the scriptures do not argue the existence of God, no. But they contain the revelation that he has made of his own nature and attributes. Listen, as some of these attributes are described, he is self-existent. The Father has life in himself, John 5:26. For with thee is the fountain of life, Psalm 36:9. He's everlasting. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalms 92. The high and lofty one inhabiteth eternity. Isaiah 57:15. Also, God is a spirit. John 4:24. There is no God else beside me. Isaiah 45:21. He is unchangeable. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Also, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. He's present everywhere. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Jeremiah 23:24. He's not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, 27-28. He's all wise. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Blessed be the God, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Daniel 2:20. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. He's holy and just. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "I am holy." And Titus 1:2 says, "God that cannot lie." And besides all of this, God is full of goodness and faithfulness. God so loved the world. John 3:16. His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:26. Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 11:11. Now we understand through faith that God created the world. Also, through his Son, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. And now we come to the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Psalms 8:4. This is one of the greatest questions ever asked. Or we could phrase three questions of great magnitude thus. What am I? From where did I come? And to where am I going? Many answers have been posed for the first, but the last two remain a mystery until we look into the Word of the Lord. Evolution of man from the lower animals utterly fails to satisfy the mind of reason. If it could be shown that man really has descended from the ape by a process of development, it would be certain that that primitive ape possessed, in an undeveloped form, all the marvelous faculties to be manifested later in a George Washington, or an Abraham Lincoln, or a John Bunyan. Mere development cannot create nor develop new properties. So, when the evolutionists declare that man descended from some simple form of primitive life, the mystery of the true origin of man's nature is not at all explained. And simply, to put their date of origin a few million years further back does not account for the origin of anything. So, this is no explanation whatever. Therefore, man's origin as well as his destiny is a subject of revelation pointed out in the Scriptures. So God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. Eve is declared to be the mother of all living. Genesis 3:20. Other Bible writers acknowledge this common origin of man. Being made in the likeness of man, being made in the likeness of God, man does possess freedom of will so that he can of his own choice chart his course in life and decide his conduct. But this original state of holiness was forfeited by sin. Hence, in this respect and to this extent, the image of God was lost. However, in the redemption of Christ, holiness is regained. In this born-again state, we are taught, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3, 9-10. Now, let me briefly point out that man is a twofold being. He consists of body and spirit, or body and soul. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Again, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. The outer man or body is mortal. Romans 6:20 speaks of your mortal body. This mortal body was made from the dust of the earth. It requires natural food to subsist upon. The other part of man is the immortal soul that lives on forever. Many scriptures point out that in death, the soul departs from this earthly tabernacle of clay. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. The dying testimonies of thousands of saints confirm the doctrine of the Scripture on this point, that at death the soul takes its departure from the body to be in a more sacred nearness with the Lord. In the most solemn hour of life, this truth is so firmly stamped upon the heart that it finds expression in language unmistakable. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every soul. Help us all to realize the importance of soul living, that when this mortal body shall return to the dust, our immortal soul will take its flight to enter the realm of eternal glory and not the regions of the lost. Save every soul that will come in repentance to thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for a few moments of your time. Meet us at the National Camp Meeting of the Church of God, 5 miles east of Neosho, Missouri, beginning July 24th. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.